WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet's slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Apparently, it's Weird Al night on the music rotation. Can't really say I'm complaining about that. But aside from Weird Al, we have wrestling news, opinions to get to, all the usual in the show. And before that, we do this introduction thing, which is just this bullshit thing we do to kill a few minutes. I am Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me is Mace.
Yes, I am here, and today the internet has been won by Jason David Frank by taking a photo with Bray Wyatt. It's game over, folks. We don't need to do anything else. Shut down the internet. We're done.
He also took one with the Bellas.
I don't think that's just as good.
JDF's only got one pose for photos, but it works.
Pretty much. But, you know, when you're that awesome, why do you need any other poses?
He's a Power Ranger.
He's a Power Ranger. They only do one pose per episode.
No. You know how Power Rangers works. Every single action requires its own pose.
But that's only when they skip to the Japanese footage.
No, American footage. They did the Hitler pose when they did the big sword swing thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And the one thoroughly lost in all this is the one and only Tim Stein.
All I can say is it's thoroughly ironic that you would bring up the Hitler pose, because I am watching Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, right now on my TV.
Okay,
and yeah, you know,
the Scorpions, everyone.
Joe producer went and got it wrong again.
What? That's Rocky Like a Hurricane. That's what the song was.
No, it wasn't.
Whatever. That's the song
I
thought of.
It was AC/DC.
No, it's Rocky Like a Hurricane. Whatever.
No, the lyrics I gave you were AC/DC. You saw Hurricane and you thought Rocky Like a Hurricane.
That's what I thought. That's the only reason I went with it.
Thunder. Rolling thunder, pouring rain, I'm coming on like a hurricane. White light flashing across the sky. You're only young, but you're gonna die. Won't take no prisoners who ask me no lies. Nobody's putting up a fight. I'm the fella's gonna take you to hell. I'm gonna get you. Satan, get you. Hell's bells.
Now I have karaoke lyrics to mix up with. There we
go. Satan's calling to you. Hell's bells. He's ringing them now.
Good for you, Tim.
Jackass, you got it wrong.
Eh. Oh, shucks. It's kind of raining where Tim's at the moment.
Yeah, it's kind of thunderstorming and shit, and it's awesome. It was like Big Bang Boomers, so you might hear that in the background. I also might just, like, drop suddenly. If that happens, it's because I've lost power. Because
so either way, we're still taking a shot.
The power is flickering. So I don't know if that counts.
It counts.
Yeah, all I know is that I've been suffering from a massive motherfucking toothache for the last couple of days. This, my friend, is not fun.
Well, then you should be taking better care of your teeth.
Got nothing to do with it. Shut up. No, wait, don't shut up. You need to be talking tonight. That being said, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Russ Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, Sheila, hello. Make sure I get that out of the way. And, oh, hi to Nikki as well. Don't want to be getting in trouble by forgetting people I shouldn't be forgetting. So, yeah. Shall we just get right into this, or do you guys want to just, like, talk about the weird things that Omega posts on the internet right before he does this show?
No. We know the context of that. It's all good.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, yeah. You do not know the context of that.
Obviously, I don't know the context. All I know is some kind of robot thing is spanking Mario.
It's not a robot thing. It's an alien thing.
It's an alien... Well, okay, alien robot thing. What is that alien thing?
It's Frieza from Dragon Ball.
Okay, Frieza from Dragon Ball. For those of you in the chat room, go ahead, click the link, and you'll see the image that I was sent, what we're talking about.
Look at that smile. Mario's totally into it.
I see that. That's what's so disturbing. What's the name of the princess that he's always trying to rescue?
Peach.
Okay, Princess Peach.
The last night cards, it was cock-teasing bitch.
Cards Against Humanity, which is played here practically every Saturday night on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You can get involved by listening to some of the strange shit these guys come up with every Saturday around, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, and the horrific things we came up with last night.
Yeah, Rock showed me a sample of something, and it was... You guys make me worry about you more and more every week. Really, you do! Sometimes I wonder what's up with you kids.
We learned it from watching you!
Okay, Archer. Sorry, Archer flashback. I marathoned the Archer episodes last night and made it all the way to the last show of the last season last night where Juana kind of sprang something on Archer. You guys watch that show, don't you?
No.
Only when it's like actually on. I don't go out of my way to track it down.
Well, yeah, you know, you watch it when it's on. It was just, I haven't seen it. I was catching up, so.
Yeah, skip the latest season.
What, Archer Vice?
Yeah.
That yeah.
Was crap.
Yeah, well, the whole thing kind of sort of, watching the very first episode, they basically, all you got to do is watch the first episode, and you see the entire season. In that first episode. I think it's the first episode. Yeah, it's the first episode. Of, what is it? Season 6. So, I'm just hoping to see him go back to, back to ISIS and all this other stuff for the next season. And it gets good again. Or better.
I'm sure they should have continued with the pilot.
So.
The pilot didn't have Archer as a human. He was a velociraptor.
Okay, I haven't seen the pilot then.
track down the pilot. It makes everything so much better.
Okay. Does it make more sense, less sense, or it's just funnier?
It's just funnier.
Oh, okay. Well, then definitely I'm going to track it down. But I got involved on the IMDb.com message boards, and people were trying to cast a live action Archer, and nobody could figure out who would make the, you know, who they should cast for Archer. My vote was Carl Urban.
Your poor person. Why did you go to such a horrible, horrible place?
Lame website? Because
it's a slight, tiny step above going and posting on 4chan.
Well, I like reading the trivia shit.
That's fine. You read. You don't comment on that stuff ever.
Yeah. I wasn't saying I was commenting. I was just saying that my choice would be Carl Urban for Archer. Just saying.
Fair enough. Let's talk wrestling.
Let's talk wrestling. Let's start things off with your win and your fail this week. And let's start with Mr. Omega.
Oh, you never start with me.
Omicron 73. Is that like a one of those opposite day things?
What?
I said, was that like one of those opposite day type of things where you say I never start with you?
No. I'm advising you. Never start with me, because am I ever prepared for this segment?
Oh, don't do that. Okay, are you not prepared for this segment?
No, I actually am.
Well, then I can start with you, can't I?
As for future reference, this is a rare occurrence.
Okay, well, a little birdie told me you were good to go.
Birdie doesn't know what it's talking about. My win's going to be Cena and Cesaro.
Oh, yeah?
Someone actually let them put on a really good wrestling match to start Raw.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it was weird because it really, in a way, it played out like a pay-per-view match because they got, they got a lot of they got some false finishes in. They actually got their moves, they got their big signatures in, countered. It played really well, and I shouldn't be surprised because it's Cesaro. If anyone can wrestle Cena to a good match, it's probably going to be Cesaro. But
yeah,
it was a surprisingly strong start to the show.
Yeah, well, the only thing I can say at this point is I agree with you totally. That was a really good match. It was a really good opener, and it's a terrible thing to say. It was a pleasant surprise, but. Yeah. So, Mace, what was your win for the week?
Surprisingly enough, I'm actually going the same route as Omega. I'm going with, the opening and closing matches of Raw, basically Cena versus Cesaro and Jericho versus Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling wasn't a dirty word on WWE television for once.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked.
All right. Yeah. Well, you guys are going to love this because I'm making it unanimous. That was my win right out of the gate for the entire week. Omega, you said it. If anybody can bring Cena to a good match, it would be a guy like Cesaro. Cena reminds me of those types of guys who can elevate their game when they're facing guys who know what the hell they're doing, but they don't look that great against guys who are weaker than them. Kind of like Triple H. And it showcased for me just what the upside to having Cesaro in the company is going to be and what we can expect from him down the road, potentially, possibly, in the future. It was a fantastic opening match. You were saying it was almost pay-per-view quality. That's, it's exactly what I was thinking. So. I think this is the first time we all picked the same shit for win of the week.
Damn, we're agreeing it's going to be one of those shows.
Oh, I don't think so. Then again, you never know. We'll find out. That being said, let's get into fail. What was your fail for the week, Mace?
Damien Sandow. Okay, the costume shit. At first it was funny, now it's just sad. It's really annoying to see WWE wasting a great talent like Cesaro. I really, really now want to find out who he pissed off backstage to do this. Because it's just pathetic now. Especially when he jobs to Adam fucking Rose.
Yeah, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? I mean, this guy used to be a Money in the Bank contract holder. Of course, he lost it to John Cena. And things seem to have been on a bit of a downward spiral from there with his character, I think. So, yeah. You know,
yeah, pretty much. It's like, I think it was about this time last year, we saw him put on two really good matches with John Cena.
Yep.
Both one for the for cashing in, and then he got a rematch the next night of Raw or something like that.
Yep.
Or it was a week later or something like that. Now he's getting about in a spacesuit and doing stupid comedy bits. It's like, really? The dude is a great talent. Let him just be an intelligent asshole, which was getting over, and just let him actually wrestle instead of jobbing him out to retards.
Yep. Well, I gotta agree with you on that one. It's just, it's sad to see how far he's fallen, and you can't help but wonder if maybe he farted in Stephanie's face when when they were in catering or something. So, Omega, what's your fail for the week?
Two for two.
Uh-oh, no way.
Oh my god. It's not even that they're wasting a talent like Sandow. It's the fact that it's such a fucking waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's all it is. It's just he comes out to get the cheapest heat he can in some stupid costume just to get the crowd pissed off for like a minute.
Yeah.
And he's not even having matches anymore on top of that, and it doesn't seem like it's leading anywhere. He's just kind of, appropriate for the spacesuit costume this week. He's just floating in the middle of nothing right now.
Yeah, well, absolute total stooge is what's going on right now. Would you agree?
I wouldn't even call it's... God, at least a stooge has some kind of connotation to it that I could get behind. This is just fucking dumb. And to take a character like Sandow, who was, the intellectual savior of the masses, he's supposed to be the smart one, and he's resorting to the most lowbrow ways of getting heat there are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only just a waste of him, it's defying everything he's ever built himself up as without actually changing him.
Yeah.
If he's going for a gimmick change, okay, fine, but this is complete counter to what he's ever done.
Proof that when creative doesn't know what the hell to do, they don't know what the hell to do. More or less.
Something like that, I suppose.
Well, I could make it 3 for 3 because I thought that was absolutely retarded. But I'm going to be, just a little different. And my fail for the week is them having to release Ricardo.
Fucking hell.
I don't think... did they release him or did he ask for his release?
It sounded like he asked for it because, in his words, he was sick of not being able to wrestle.
Yeah, well...
Still,
that ties in completely with why I find it a fail. I mean, we've seen him in the ring a couple of times, and nowhere near as many times as we would have preferred, or evidently Ricardo would have preferred. But it's just a complete, absolute failing of WWE in the way that they mishandled Ricardo. They could have done so much with him. After they split him from Del Rio.
This is where you're right about creative. It's like they don't even realize the one thing that was getting Del Rio over was Ricardo.
Yep.
That's where the heat was coming from. That's where, even when he went face, failure as it was, it was Ricardo as the linchpin and the focal point of that turn. And then the subsequent turn back into a heel.
Yeah.
The only times he was interesting was with Ricardo, because he's far more charismatic than Del Rio is.
Whoa, big time. Absolutely.
It's not saying much. I have toenail fungus that's more charismatic than Del Rio.
God, that's just disgusting. Thanks for that. So, yeah. So that's our wins and our fails for the week. we're supposed to fill this time now because Rock wanted me to talk about the WWE house show from last Sunday night that I went to, that I have a hard time recalling any real details on. I will tell you that if you've never been to a house show, it's not like going to a TV taping. It's like going to a really, 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 really big indie event.
I remember when they were having a big deal over, oh, well, we've improved the set, we improved everything. It's like, good. You know, now house show looks kind of like the quality of, like, you know, mid-90s Raw.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there.
So, yeah. But as far as me working to fill the gap here, you guys want to bring anything up that's not on the run sheet?
No, not really.
Fuck the Sci-Fi Channel and its shark movies?
Yeah, we got the playing of that this past weekend.
Sharknado 2?
Oh, no, it wasn't just Sharknado 2. It was like... it was like a big group of them, about four or five movies. All of them had to do with sharks. The last two were Sharknado and Sharknado 2. It's like, really?
Yeah, they aired one of the Sharktopus movies. And the fact that I can actually say one of the Sharktopus movies is sad.
The fact that we say Sharknado 2 is bad enough.
That's almost depressing. That's just totally almost depressing. I was reading Tara Reid did not want to put down on her resume that she was in Sharknado because she was embarrassed.
Well, yeah.
But the bloody thing became a phenomenon.
I'm really, like, upset that there's this market and that it's a continued market for movies that are intentionally awful. The producers know they're awful, the actors know they're awful, and the audience knows they're awful. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason all of them are doing it.
Well, is this a case of they're striking with it at the right time? Because they know that really bad movies, intentionally bad movies, are going to be eaten up? Or is it just, like, where... human society is at this point in time as far as entertainment goes.
I don't think we're getting to Idiocracy levels yet.
Good movie, by the way. I recommend, if you haven't, you should watch it.
One of the most frightening dystopian future movies I've ever seen.
Well, the scary thing is it's coming true in increments.
But, good lord, it's just, it's a fad right now.
Mm-hmm.
This will go away. And something stupid will take its place.
Okay, so we're going to go from bad to stupid.
Actually, I could see that trend. Well, you remember like in the 90s, we had, let's take like half of Jim Carrey's movie. Well, you had movies like Dumb and Dumber where just stupid comedy was in.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, Dumb and Dumber was actually written brilliantly. For, you know, a quote-unquote stupid movie.
Yeah, but it's still... I know it's a well-written movie, but it's still intentionally stupid comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a lot of that. You see, these days, they still try and make those intentionally stupid movies. Hello, Adam Sandler. They don't do nearly as well. A lot of them just flat-out bomb now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for it. You know, but I'm just happy that at least this little fad for movies right now is limited to, like, direct to DVD stuff. Like,
yeah.
I honestly feel like the crowd that watches these movies, if they saw, it's almost like a hipster thing.
Uh-huh.
Whereas, like, if they saw it in the theater, they go, oh, no, that's too high quality.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother watching that. It's like, they know they're going to make more going direct to DVD because that's the real sign of shit. Hello, WWE.
I see how you tied that in. I saw what you did there. That was impressive. So, yeah. Well, last night I wound up watching Everything or Nothing, the 50 years of James Bond.
And if you're a James Bond fan, I recommend it. It's a great documentary.
What if you're not a James Bond fan?
Well, I don't know. Watch it at your own peril.
Is there a section devoted to all the different vagina names they came up with for lead females?
Not really. No. It wasn't that kind of a documentary.
But that's kind of a thing, though. That's a James Bond trope. I mean, that's like part of the history there.
Come on! It was like they blew it over the top, obvious with the third movie, Goldfinger. Naming your chief villainess, pussy galore, making her a lesbian.
Which reminds me, coming up next on the Sci-Fi Channel, Octopussy. Not the movie you think it is.
Yeah, that was disappointing when I went to the theater. Anyway. I think we may have wasted enough time. You guys want to keep going, or shall we take our first quick break of the evening?
Sure, let's take a break.
Yeah, what the hell? So we'll just wait for the, Joe producer to cue everything up. And while we are, we'll just tell you, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're coming back on the other side of this quick little time up. We're going to talk about Impact.
Good metaphor for talking Impact.
I'm losing my sight, losing my mind. Wish somebody would tell me I'm fine. Losing my sight, losing my mind. Wish somebody would tell me I'm fine. Nothing's alright, nothing is fine. I'm running and I'm crying.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me. the Boston Badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch, L-O-E-S-C-H, all one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
I'm Santino Marella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? How long is the time?
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just so you know, we got the Weird Al Yankovic Polka thing going on because apparently Mace has been dipping into the eggnog.
Well, not so much dipping in the eggnog. It was eggnog. Just... It just so happened that I turned into the rack on Thursday night, and they had weird sort of girly songs on, so I thought, why not, just to offshoot it, let's do Weird Al Poker songs, because why not?
Speaking of, congratulations to the guy for his very first number one album.
Indeed.
That's kind of cool. That's the first comedy album in 50 years to do that.
Wow.
Mandatory fun. Available now. Go get it.
So did you specifically pick the actual music, or did you just say, grab Weird Al Polka shit?
Originally the latter, and then Rock said to do the former.
Ah, because you couldn't think of anything to play from Weird Al.
No, because he was in the middle of a show when I brought this up, and he's like, "Do the work for me." Yeah.
Well, then you fucking do it, bitch.
Exactly.
Only in Rock's words, yeah. So, and we all know those just a little too well. So, time to get serious and talk about TNA and Impact Wrestling. TMZ has reported, and you guys, right on the, I know, you know, blame me too because I wasn't on the show last week. 25 minutes after you finished the show last Sunday, this news breaks that Spike TV has canceled Impact Wrestling, according to TMZ.
WTR bringing you the latest in wrestling news.
Improbably one of the worst timings ever done on internet radio.
And we ran short last week.
We were supposed to
talk Comic-Con shit just to kill time, and if we had, we would have been here for this.
That would have been definitely something worth breaking, but naturally, Dixie Cutter and TNA are saying that negotiations are still ongoing with Spike, but there's been a myriad of rumors. As we all know, Spike bought Bellator, and one of the rumors is Spike wants to buy TNA Wrestling and, you know, call it something different and stuff. So they actually own the wrestling, you know, the property itself, as opposed to having to deal with Dixie. Who knows? If that were to happen, they might improve it to the point where a lot more people could watch it. But
not much more worse it could get.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing with TNA. Their main fan base is overseas. Really. For all intents and purposes.
Let's get it right. Their main fan base is the UK.
Well, yeah, that's what I was referring to. Alluding to their main fan base being in the UK. But they can't just up and go to the UK.
Yeah, they can. They do it quite a few times each year.
Well, they can't just up and go and stay. But do you guys think that TNA is being aggressive and trying to get a better deal so they don't have to prop up TNA financially?
Say that again.
Do you think that Spike TV is actually renegotiating with TNA to get a better deal for them, in part so they don't have to financially prop up TNA like they've been doing?
In terms of Spike TV, yeah, it's good for them because they're the network. They're the ones that have to put up the airtime. They have to pay the company per episode.
Mm-hmm.
So if they believe that the product that they're shelling out money for isn't performing to their expectations, then of course you're going to ask for less money and or even buy out the company if possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see an issue with this in terms of Spike doing what they want to do.
But, you know, the question is it legitimately now done and nothing new will happen after the contract expires in October? Or will we actually see TNA survive on Spike?
Honestly, at this point, I don't see where the profitability for TNA is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The product would have to improve so dramatically. They would have to have such a bigger audience at this point because Spike keeps funneling money into TNA, and TNA is still losing money.
Now, losing money a bit of a surprise, seeing as it's pretty much Spike's highest rated programming?
No, because it's still a lot of talent that has to get paid. It's still a lot of production that has to be done. I mean, it's one of their highest rated shows, but then they also get, you know, but then again, they also get really good ratings from reruns of Cops.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's a lot cheaper. So when you're a network, it's not just about ratings. It's about, ad revenue versus expense. You're more likely to, you know, you're more likely to keep a show that's making half the ratings if the ad revenue is making more than it costs to put the show on. And reruns are dirt cheap.
Yeah. Now there's, that just leads into my next basic topic of discussion with all of this. Ad revenue.
Uh-huh.
You look at advertisers. Advertisers are looking at your lineup. Are they more likely to want to pay less to sponsor a wrestling show?
Really, to that, it really doesn't matter. If the audience is there, that means there's people watching and people who are going to see the ads.
Mm-hmm. However, it's the type of people watching. And wrestling has a bit of a stigma to it that the lower brow, the undereducated, the underemployed are wrestling fans. That's the stigma that wrestling still carries today. that it doesn't matter if you have 1.5 million people watching TNA if they don't have money to spend on your product. Isn't it a waste of money to promote your product to them?
Depends on what your product is.
You're not going to sell them a Cadillac. At least that's the perception.
Well, if Cadillac's sponsoring wrestling, then yeah, that's probably a stupid idea.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of stuff advertised on WWE television, usually, you know, mostly like movies and TV shows and DVDs and whatnot, that are within the reach of the average fan and the average wrestling fan.
Yeah. And so, it's a lower advertising dollar for them than it would be if you were to carry a higher ticket item, too.
True.
Yeah. So advertising during TNA brings in less money than like Omega was talking about showing four reruns of Cops, which to me makes no sense. But
well, then actually it does make sense. You know, the same people watching Fox are the same people that go out and spend so much money on watching 18 different editions of Sharknado 2 when it comes out on DVD.
Yeah, you got a point. So, yeah. So, is TNA done? Will they have a TV deal by the end of October? Do you guys think? What do you think?
God, it's hard to tell. I mean, it's not just this; it's also the fact that their current filming arrangements only goes till about October, about when they are going to be off of Spike at this rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also right around the date of their next Bound for Glory, where they're going off to Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting how all those dates are playing out.
Coinciding strangely.
Yeah. Like, Spike gave them enough time to actually procure another network.
Yep.
But when you... Okay, now the report of them losing, like, the last report is years old. That they are out like $45 million that they've lost since their inception. And we don't know the numbers since, but we do know Spike's been pushing money into them so they could afford to do what they're doing. And they're still losing money to this day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't foresee any network that could look at the history of the product, how long it's been going, and how little results it's gained, and actually take a risk on it when they could produce their own material that would be, you know, completely under their control and far more likely to pull in ratings.
Yeah. So is TNA dead without a TV deal?
No. In its current format, yes.
Okay.
You know, you take a look at Ring of Honor, which they have a TV deal, but it's not something that's very well known to anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
Their companies can survive on just doing live events. You know, it could be that TNA might drop back to doing the old pay-per-view stuff that they came in with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go back to the days where you're paying $10 to watch a TNA show or something. That might help them survive in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hell, go digital only for a while and just sort of try and cut costs where they can, which means, you know, bye-bye Kurt Angle, bye-bye Jeff Hardy.
Digital only is such a risk these days because you have to have huge advertising in order to profit off of it, especially creating brand new content, especially creating content as expensive as pro wrestling.
Oh, I'm sure they could survive on Patreon.
Oh, God, don't bring up Patreon to me. Also, you can't even go back to their old format of pay-per-views because guess what? $10 for a pay-per-view? $10 gets you a month of the network for free and a WWE pay-per-view. So it's not even competitive anymore.
Yeah. And besides, the state of the current product, I don't see enough people paying $10 to keep it, you know, viable. Back when they first did it, when they, you know, like Mace brought up, when they first did it, Hell, I was watching it every Wednesday night because it was good when they didn't have an actual TV deal. It was actually a good show.
Here's this hipster thing again. It was so much better before it went mainstream.
Yeah, in this case, it has nothing to do with going mainstream. But a lot of the reports saying Spike decided to cancel the or not renew because they got wind that Vince Russo was still on the payroll.
Yeah, let's not talk about the career killer, shall we?
Yeah. So, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But fact of the matter is, TNA Baldface lied to Spike about that. They swore up and down that he wasn't, and then it turns out that he was. I can see that, you know, playing into it a little bit. Maybe not a lot, but at least partially.
You know, when the network says, you know, we don't want this guy involved, he has very negative history with the business, of course, you know, you're going to hide the fact if you've got him on the payroll. You know, let's face it, for as bad as Vince Russo is for professional wrestling, at least he's one of very few guys out there that has a wrestling background in writing it.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the Hollywood writers that we get in WWE these days. You know, sure, they could go with somebody much better, but, you know, I'm quite sure Vince Russo was working for peanuts at the time.
Yeah.
And when you're running a company like TNA that has been having financial troubles for the last few years, getting a guy cheaply as Russo, well, shit, if you got to hide him, you got to hide him.
Yeah. No, that's understandable, I suppose, but at the same time, you know, his track record isn't exactly the greatest. And as far as being able to write wrestling, nobody is better than Vince Russo. Just ask Vince Russo.
Ay, ay, ay.
Comments, Omega?
You do to comedy what Russo does to wrestling companies.
That wasn't comedy.
No, it wasn't.
That was the truth. But, and, you know, when this all came up, there were a few people taking shots, actually. Chief among them, Smith Hart, Brett's older brother, the oldest Hart son. Did you guys hear about
that? Good Lord, was he salty.
So you read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good job, Vince Russo.
How could you not? It was like retweeted by just about everybody on Twitter.
Yeah, I guess it was. You know, you killed two wrestling promotions and my brother. I don't know. I think there's just a little bit of just the tiniest little bit. It's still there.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
I was gonna say I blame the guy.
I will say this. I could hear the laughter of our good friend, Mr. Cornette. all I had to do was open my window, and I could hear him laughing.
Yeah, he stopped yelling at Dairy Queen waitresses long enough.
He hasn't yelled at that poor woman in so long.
Oh, he yells at her every time I go to YouTube. So, I don't know. I think maybe it's time to stick a fork in them. They're done.
I wouldn't exactly be sticking a fork in them, but I'm getting the coals ready.
Mm-hmm.
Michael?
So, Michael Coles. No, Omega. Not Michael Coles.
I don't know. We could put them over Michael Coles because they just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
Right until JBL tells them to shut up with some inaccurate history.
It's better than what WWE does with their own history, sir.
There you go. So, you know, Jeff Jarrett promises a major massive announcement in November for his GFW. What do you guys think the chances are? Maybe Spike and Jarrett had a nice little chat
And this is Jarrett's way of basically taking over where TNA was. And that's the announcement.
No, I doubt it. With no proven track record for the company, there's no way a TV company is just going to take it on blind faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is... We will acknowledge that at the very least, TNA was better off when Jarrett was running things.
Absolutely.
True.
Yeah. He might have that, you know, that rep backing him up in negotiations with Spike. And he might have presented them with some kind of an offer where, they don't have to pay so much money. And, of course, with that, there goes controlling interest in, who controls the ad revenue and all this other stuff. And there's a whole bunch of things that plays into it. I mean, it's an out-there speculation, and I will say right now, it's probably not likely. But at the same time, I think that it is, as remote as it may be, maybe a possibility.
Will admit, it's a little bit more interesting than I would have anticipated.
And well, there are always possibilities, and that would definitely be a pro wrestling style soap opera situation. So I guess we'll just have to wait and find out what goes on in the ensuing weeks. They've got 8 to 10 weeks left of life. The thing that really confuses me here in this whole situation, they're losing their TV deal, their major source of revenue. Yet they're offering multi-year contracts to people?
That threw me off.
Yeah.
You would find that there's probably a clause in the contract saying that if the company goes under, that the contracts are automatically null and void. They won't be like WCW and have guarantees.
And paid in perpetuity, yeah. They would have guarantees if the people who are negotiating for themselves are smart enough to get that, but you pointed it out. Today is not like it was right at the turn of 2000. So you never know.
So what was it? What's the biggest name that's re-signed so far?
Rock.
Let's see. The last name that they re-signed was Zema Ion was the last one they re-signed to a big deal. I think the biggest name out of everybody that they re-signed on a multi-year deal was James Storm.
It's not exactly big name people that they're re-signing right now. Yeah, I'm sure they're working for better than they want, that they get paid elsewhere, but it's not like they're renewing the giant contracts like Jeff Hardy or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It might be just for the sake of show.
To be honest, the ones that I feel sorry for are the ones that are just starting to sign with the company. Like, they've started doing the promotion for Jessica Havoc to start wrestling on Impact. Yep. And by the time they get around to actually getting her in the ring, chances are she might be on a contract for 4 weeks. And if the company goes bust, then, she's suddenly out of a job and she can't really go back to WSU either, given the circumstances on which she left.
Yeah.
So, I feel sorry for all the newer guys that are being brought in or have signed, return contracts or something. They're basically sitting there going, well, I signed these contracts, and if you've got like a 90-day no-compete clause or something like that attached to it, then I'm really up shit creek without a paddle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a really good point. I hadn't thought about that. You get stuck in a contract where you're going to be competing for less time than you're going to be restricted from competing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, just because they lose a TV deal doesn't exactly mean the company shuts down. They could lose a TV deal, still have the company around technically, and hold them to that contract for the length of time, then have the 90 days on top of that. So then you'll have a roster full of people who can't even do, like, go back to the indies or go do Japan tours or something like that because they're on an exclusive contract.
Yeah.
That's really going to screw over a lot of people.
Quite a number of them. And, you know, reading all over the internet, all of these WWE fanboys and TNA haters all being like, you know, told you so. Sure, fine. I get it. You don't like TNA, but stop and think about all the people that are going to lose their jobs.
But you gotta realize that these are people that have been saying TNA is gonna close down for like the last 5 years. Eventually, they turn out to be right.
Yeah, it's a matter of time thing.
throw enough shit at a wall, eventually you'll hit the bullseye. Eventually,
yes, you know, throw enough spaghetti at the fridge, something's gonna stick someday.
I will admit, you know, I am taking a bit of Schadenfreude in this, but it's at the expense of people like Dixie Carter, who's just terrible at doing business, especially in wrestling. Yep. Vince Russo for being the colossal ass that he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the bold faced lying that he screwed up. He fucked that one himself.
Oh yeah, sending the wrong email to the wrong people just at the right time.
I still like, he's got such a track record for doing shit like that.
Yep.
You know, I almost want to say he's still on Vince's payroll and he's just paid to sabotage other companies.
Mm.
Honestly, it's the only thing that makes sense out of him.
Yeah.
If that was true. It's not.
Well, if that's true, then that turns out to be the greatest work in history. The biggest one, at least.
But it'd be the only thing explainable at this point. It's like, okay, you absolutely made the Attitude Era. You made modern pro wrestling what it is. Yeah. Go to my competition and do everything opposite.
Do everything the wrong way.
Okay, now there's this company in TNA. What? Oh, they're trying to bring back the six-sided ring. It's like, send this email right now. It's a nice fantasy story, but God, you can't admit it's got to explain so much.
Well, that just like proves through a whole bunch of suppositions and rumors about Vince McMahon, wouldn't it? Jeez. So yeah, I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see what happens with TNA. That being said, let's talk about the WWE Network.
Yeah, it's
their latest.
It's available on like just about every format.
Just about now. Oh, it's gonna be available on even more.
Well, one more format.
Yeah,
Canadian television.
Exactly. Now, Rogers Network. Well, through Rogers anyway. I think it was Friday, was it, Rock? Thursday, that they listed their subscribers, which is currently sitting at 700,000, which originally originally would have been about halfway to where they needed to be by next January.
Halfway would be 500,000, but okay, Tim.
No, originally, because they needed 1.4 million.
No, they said they needed a break-even was a million.
Well, no, that was adjusted. It turned out the original break-even turned out to be 1.4 million. But now their break-even is 500,000. And part of that is due to the massive cuts at WWE. It's not just, you know, on-screen talent or talent that should have been on screen that WWE has laid off and let go. It's a lot of extraneous office staff. A lot of people working at Titan Towers are going to have to be pulling double duty now for the next little while. But at the same time, a lot of revenue in perpetuity for the next decade is going to be coming out of Canada. Because WWE Network has signed an exclusive agreement with Rogers in Canada. Now, Ted Rogers was basically the Canadian version of Ted Turner. The guy bought the Blue Jays. He owns the Sky Dome in Toronto, and there are about 15 or 20 television stations, all devoted to sports. Not only that, they own a cable company, a satellite company, a wireless cellular company. I mean, you know, Ted Rogers died a few years ago, but the company is just, it's a huge-ass monopoly. And they're going to be making the WWE Network, now the live streaming version of it, available on a an actual channel. You have to, you know, buy the bundle and pay for stuff that you don't want if you want the network. And it's going to wind up costing you pretty much the same as, almost the same as if you just signed up to get it online. Now, being with Rogers and having Rogers in Canada have all of this availability with media and different forms of penetration. A lot of the on-demand stuff will be available if you have Rogers internet. And Rogers is going to be a big, huge proponent of bringing the actual streaming network to Canada. And, of course, naturally, they're going to be the first internet provider up here to host the WWE Network, or like to let it, you know, to let it come through. So, but that's
so. So all said and done, we asked this question, Tim.
Yeah.
Are you going to buy the WWE Network?
See, I knew you guys were going to be asking me this, right? Because Rock already asked me that.
He would have to actually buy cable.
I would actually have to get cable, then I'd have to get a cable box, and I'd have to subscribe to all these fucking channels I don't want. And so Rock has decided that I would probably wait until the beginning of 2015 when it's available on the internet, and then I could subscribe to it.
That's
so you won't get it right away, but you'll get it eventually.
Yeah, eventually I will get it, but the initial outlay for me just to get the WWE Network on television would be about $250 plus approximately $50 a month. So, as far as I'm concerned, for me, that's not viable.
No, I understand that. We have the same type of issue here in Australia with Foxtel being our main cable company.
Yep.
And getting a hold of things like Game of Thrones and other high-ranking programs and going, if you would like to buy this, you will have to buy our base package of $50. But if you actually want to watch Game of Thrones, you'll have to get the movie package. That's an extra $30 a month. Then you've got to pay the connection fee and the server fee and then the installation fee. And then it works out to somewhere around about $300 to $400. At which point a lot of people go, fuck this, I'm going to Torrance.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not gonna be too upset or too worried about it. Those people in Canada who already have all of this stuff in place and they actually watch TV, whereas I don't really watch a whole bunch of television, and I don't see myself forking out $60 a month just to watch the new season of Archer and Mad Men and Game of Thrones. I mean, that's just basically three TV shows that I watch. And then there's Raw and SmackDown. And although I watch SmackDown a lot more than you, Mace, I don't exactly see every episode every week either. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
for the moment, raise the piracy flag.
Well, that, you know, that's another unique, interesting thing in Canada. That's a stumbling block for a lot of American, like Hulu, Hulu Plus, and all this other stuff. Why they're not available in Canada? Because our piracy laws are so totally different. If you're streaming shit, and I decide to go to these websites that stream all this stuff and watch it, I'm not breaking the law. Canada says, well, yeah, you know, it's already there. You're not doing anything wrong, really. You shouldn't, but we, you know, we're not going to prosecute you for that, and we're not going to let anybody else prosecute you for that. It's the people doing the streaming who are doing the stealing, and hey, let's face it, a lot of them are living in Romania. Wink, wink. Right? So, as far as that goes, people have said to me, well, I can't do that. It's illegal. It's just, yeah, not if you're on the receiving end, and live in Canada.
It's only illegal if you get caught.
Well, yeah, that's for the rest of them.
The Aladdin rule.
Pretty much.
You could call it the Aladdin rule. I just, every time I hear somebody say it's not illegal if you don't get caught, I flash back to my sister getting pulled over by a OPP because she was speeding. And she said that. It's not illegal if you don't get caught. And, well, you got caught. Thing is, she got caught by a guy that she used to go to high school with, so she didn't get a ticket. I call shenanigans.
Yeah, that would be very much shenanigans.
It's no fair that women can get out of the pen speeding tickets and shit like that just because they have boobs.
Yeah, that's the world. What can you do about it?
Yeah.
But, well, in terms of using the WWE Network, for those people who can't use it, which as of, I believe, August 12th will be the UK and Japan, yep. There's these nice little things called VPNs. Very, very cheap. Recommend you invest in one and do it anyway because VPNs are a worldwide legal gray area.
Hugely gray area.
Mm-hmm.
And
given the rate most governments institute policy, you can probably get away with it for at least the next 30-odd years without an issue.
In other words, you can get away with it until they actually make it into your country. Now, obviously, WWE knows that certain individuals who live in southeastern Australia use a VPN and pay for the WWE network. There's no way
WWE can't figure that out.
Yeah, well, I wasn't naming names, Mace.
Because they don't even know. Like, I'll be straight up honest. At the moment, yes, I am using a VPN, and yes, I do buy the WWE network. Mm. But the thing with a VPN is, for those who have never used one before, a VPN is basically a middleman for your internet address or your IP. It basically takes your IP and stops it at a point and goes, okay, you're coming into this website from Australia. We're going to change that so it reads you're coming in from California.
Or New Jersey.
And we'll keep you going. We won't block you at all. We'll just change your IP to say that you're coming from somewhere that this website will recognize and allow the content through. So the server on the other end will see me coming in as an American IP address.
Yep.
That's all VPN does.
Yeah. Now, if this was less of a gray area, wouldn't WWE have cause to be a little bit miffed that somebody who lives in Australia is getting the network?
Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
According to recent statistics, there was somewhere around the framework of about 600,000 Australians paying for Netflix.
Yep.
Okay, Netflix being a primarily US-based subscription service.
Yep.
Netflix don't give a shit.
Nope.
Your money is coming in American dollars eventually.
Yep.
And that's what they care about.
They're getting paid. I mean,
and
we've got Netflix.
It's going to be the exact same way.
Yeah, we've got Netflix in Canada here. We've got Netflix Canada. But a lot of people want Netflix USA because there's 10 times the content. Plus, if you get Netflix USA, you're not slammed with CanCon, you know, Canadian content, which the CRTC, the Canadian equivalent of the FCC, imposes on any Canadian-based programming. You have to make available and you have to shove down the throats of Canadians a certain amount of programming produced in Canada.
Sounds like you're a lodge in North Korea.
You'd almost think so. This was the idea to, you know, like, well, you know, don't destroy Canadian culture or artists and stuff like that by going pure American. Now, I understand, but to me, it's the same thing as affirmative action. It's retarded and ridiculous. You're going to be forced to listen to Bryan Adams 5 times a day on your favorite radio station because they've got no choice to play Bryan Adams 5 times a day. Bryan Adams is that good.
Or could be, you know, worse. It could be Celine Dion.
I was about to say, or Celine Dion.
Hey, you've always got Justin Bieber.
You know, that's even worse on top of it. Thank you, Omega. Right? But you see, if there was no such thing as Canadian content, there would be a lot more better Canadian artists in Canada. It's a self-defeating bylaw, if you ask me. You know, you've got to do this. Well, then that means weak-ass, mediocre shit who couldn't sing their way out of the paper bag is going to get radio play as opposed to earning it because they're that good.
Now, that actually, that whole thing interests me, like the whole, you know, you must have X amount of Canadian programming. Does that mean when the WWE Network launches over there, you're going to get more Bret Hart matches than the rest of the world?
I knew you were going to go there, jackass. No, the WWE Network will not. They'll be exempt because WWE, when it was WWF on Saturdays, they used to have Maple Leaf Wrestling, which was just, you know, basic Saturday afternoon matinee wrestling out of Toronto, run by the WWF. I'm sure that's on the network archives somewhere.
Probably.
But
all that talk about, you know, Canadian content and VPNs and everything, for pretty much everybody except for, I believe it was Japan, the UK, and probably a couple other locations, the WWE Network does go international as of the 12th of August.
Yes.
Which means pretty much a lot of countries, including Australia, will be able to get the WWE Network without having to go through the legal gray area.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about this, though, is reportedly the pricing is staying at $9.99 US.
For the time being.
For the time being, yes.
Yeah, they won't raise the price.
Which is good because I'll be honest, $9.99 US here is probably about $11.60 a month.
Yeah.
You know, it's still very, very cheap, you know, even if we are paying a couple of dollars more on the price due to conversion.
Yeah, well, so it's like 1075 here, too, so.
Yeah, and you got to realize that when you do it, you're locked in for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people will be finishing up this month, being August. They should be paying their last month as of now. I know mine's about to renew for its last month and finish up.
I just paid my bill today.
Did you? I'm due to pay mine tomorrow, actually. and I've already set mine to kill the auto-renew.
Mm-hmm.
So once it finishes up on the 4th of September, I then go through and change my address and go and re-sign under the $9.99 agreement.
Without using the VPN.
Yeah. So essentially I'm now saving myself about $5 a month.
Yeah. Well, not quite, but, you know, close enough. And I don't know if we could be any more, give any more direct hints to people without actually coming out and telling them, get a VPN and do it and you're fine.
So. Well, that's the thing. Unlike, you know, those other methods that were used a year ago, a VPN is technically a legal gray area. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we can promote it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, we can promote the illegal stuff too, but that would be wrong.
That is detrimental and hurtful to the WWE company, and there is no way we will promote doing such things because we are good. Yeah, good, honest people, and we know that they listen to us.
Absolutely, and we don't want to piss them off because eventually they'll like us too, because we talk so positively about them. Don't we?
Oh, we try.
So Damien Sandow.
Well, except for Damien.
Except for Damien, Zack Ryder, The Rock. Oh, wait,
John Cena in parts. Let's face it, we've been harsh.
Please, WWE, don't listen to
some of us more harsh than others, Mace.
Please don't listen to Cards Against Humanity last night, WWE. I was not kind to Cena.
What did you say?
I invented the WWE Sci-Fi Channel original movie, The Human Cenipede.
Okay, we're not going any further. No. For various reasons.
Yeah, right, that should have been a commercial.
It probably will wind up being a commercial at some point in time. So, yeah, that's the news about the WWE Network, and it's nice to know that it survived through the worst period of time that a startup, and let's face it, yeah, WWE around for a long time, but the network is considered a startup. And the first year is the most painful year you can go through. If you can survive the first year, yeah, it's really good. You'll survive from that. That being said, we're taking our next time out of the evening. Everybody, smoke them if you got them. Go refresh your drinks. This is the extended timeout. We'll be back right after this, though. Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer. Producer's the show.
Shut up. For the trunk route parts.
Why doesn't Rob Parrish do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it now. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do? All right.
I'm Rob Buzz, your godfather of tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Peace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's Boots to Ashes time!
From the big returns...
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost! Jarvis! This is the State Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments...
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody... is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down! He's assaulted Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
Hey, Wild Talk Radio, this is New York Times bestselling author Brian Shields.
The greatest professional athlete in the world today. Look at this! He's having a goal! I don't believe it!
And my new book, 30 Years of WrestleMania, is coming out September 15th.
The spectacle that is WrestleMania. This is it.
Pre-order it now wherever books are sold.
Here we go! Once in a lifetime!
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply, Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches, to crossing highways, to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. Sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night. About midnight, sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time. Just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
This is Matt Hardy, version 1, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night, along with the biggest MFers on the planet. And they're setting up and learning from the Sensei of Mattitude. So make sure to tune in each and every week and catch Muscle Talk Radio. And in closing, I am the one! Oh.
No, I don't want to go right now. I want to hear this. I like this song. Okay, that's enough. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
He does some awesome polka versions of these songs, doesn't he?
Yes.
It's like, every time the album, he puts an album out there, it's like, I just want to hear the polka song first.
Yeah.
Because, the transitions he does are just absolutely hilarious, and it's the songs you would never think would ever work with a polka.
But he makes it work.
Like a polka theme. Yeah.
Like most of those songs I can't listen to unless it's polka version. Like I would never listen to half of the songs he does those videos for.
Yeah, it's true. It's like he did in his latest one, he did Gangnam Style. And it made that song tolerable.
Well, you're forcing me to admit. Go ahead, Omega.
I was going to say it. Shit, I can't think of the guy's name now. Fuck, I ruined that one. Anyway, move on.
Oh, great, yeah. I was just going to say that you're forcing me to admit to a guilty pleasure.
What?
Weird Al Yankovic is a guilty pleasure.
No, it's not.
No. Yeah, he doesn't have to be. He's not a guilty pleasure. He's no shame in listening to Weird Al.
He's a Billboard number one, you know, album producer. That's no shame.
Could you imagine having a kid, and when the kid listens to music, all he listens to growing up was Weird Al Yankovic. First time he goes out in public and he hears Beat It, he's like, hey!
To be honest, I have been introduced to a lot of songs.
Thanks to
Weird Al versions. Yeah.
Bad. Anyway, let's continue on with some wrestling talk. Let's talk a little bit about AJ Lee and Paige heating up this past week on Raw and SmackDown. I like the direction that they're going here.
I thought it was good until SmackDown this week and the following.
You actually saw SmackDown?
No. I saw a clip on YouTube.
Okay. Well, where she came rushing out and thrust her off the stage and sat down and said, oh, she's fine, don't worry about it.
Pretty much.
Well, I'm looking at this whole thing between the two of them. It's like, okay, since AJ's been around, she has been crazy, and she's been a girl that you can't say the word crazy to, because if you do, it makes her go crazy. Paige is just straight up playing an insane chick, like for legit intents and purposes, in real insane. Not nuts, not crazy, but look out.
See, here's the thing, like, okay, AJ Lee does crazy really, really well.
Yes.
I'm surprised that they sort of didn't go the idea of, you know, diva versus anti-diva on this one.
No.
Like, this is the one thing, like, Paige's whole thing in NXT was she was the anti-diva. She didn't want to fit into that diva mold. You'd think that would be a great way to bring the gimmick into the main roster, would be to do it against AJ Lee, who is someone who is unorthodox, but also fits into the Divas mold.
Yeah.
But instead, they're going, I'm going to out-crazy you. You know, it's just not the way I'd book it, personally.
No.
The hard thing is, that would be a good feud for someone like, I don't know, maybe Natalya for Paige. But AJ is not she's not a prototypical diva either. You know, she's oddball, she's very, I really don't want to use the term geek chic, but she's the hot nerdy girl.
There's nothing wrong with that term when it's such an accurate descriptor, though, Omega.
It still feels dirty to me.
Well, deal
the
with it.
The point is, I don't think that feud would have worked given the people participating in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, AJ herself isn't a good example of a diva, and that's what makes AJ so goddamn good as a diva.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of people were anticipating this feud, and, you know, finally, and then you get all these other Mo's and Marks who were like, no, this is stupid. What is it? Is it going to be good, or is it going to be stupid, or is it going to be somewhere in between?
All comes down to personal expectations, really.
Uh-huh. That's the crux right there. A lot of people have really whacked out personal expectations, I think.
I'm just annoyed that, you know, because of this storyline that they're running now with AJ, you know, having her be injured due to concussion or whiplash or whatever they want to change it to this week. Mm-hmm. AJ's not on the Australian tour. Nope. Paige is not going to be on the Australian tour either.
Yeah.
And that's annoying. That does, because yeah, because like I was very happy seeing AJ last time that they came out. You know, I was looking forward to seeing Paige, you know, live for the first time ever. So that's poor. And basically, like, the Australian tour in basic is very destroyed in terms of main event talent.
Mm-hmm.
But I might go into that like at the end of it. But for this one, I just don't like the whole "I'm trying to be crazier than you" deal between the two.
Well, I don't look at as Paige as doing the crazy thing. I mean, like there's to me at least there's a difference between being crazy and being truly insane. Because when you're crazy, you don't like being called crazy. But you know, you're a little nuts. When you're truly insane, you think you're normal. You think that everything's okay. You don't ask if you're crazy or if you're insane. You think that you're perfectly fine. This is the vibe I'm getting with Paige, at least to this point. Now, who knows? Things could change tomorrow night or on Friday Night SmackDown. You never know. But all I'm hoping is that they wind up doing this feud right, because I think, personally, it's really got potential. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of potential in this. It's just, it's going to have to sit on the back seat for at least this month.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a real shame, because they've been building this one, and then all of a sudden, let's put it on the back burner for a month.
Yeah, there you go. So. Well, you have to wait till SmackDown time to see how this winds up revolving, I guess. Or evolving. Speaking of SmackDown, officially, Monday Night Raw, what we have been anticipating, talking about, and hoping for, finally took place. Brie Bella taking on Stephanie McMahon at SummerSlam.
And you know what? I couldn't give a shit.
This is just not something that excites you at all?
Like, the premise was so good, and then they ended Raw with it, and I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, great, yay, we didn't need to put 15 minutes to it. Yeah, especially at the end of the show, where reports were coming out of the arena that as soon as Jericho and Rollins finished, people started getting up and leaving.
Thinking that was it.
No, they knew a segment between Steph and Brie was going to close the show, and they didn't care.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I do. I have over the past week discovered two distinct thoughts on this. You know, in the one category, people are going crazy over the idea that Steph's actually going to finally get back into the ring, and they're looking forward to it, champing at the bit, and the whole bunch. The other is, you know, the the cool kids and the smart marks and the ones who think they know what they're talking about, thinking that it's the dumbest freaking idea on the planet having these two face off with each other. And, of course, on each side, there's a whole bunch of different subcategories. You know, fine, we didn't need the 15 minutes for Raw, but did that kill your interest for the match, or did you ever have any interest?
Well, this is the thing. Like, I have interest from a wrestling standpoint. You know, it's good to see Steph getting back in the ring. Mm-hmm. Brie's come a long way in her ring work over the last couple of years, especially since she got together with Brian. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this from a wrestling standpoint. However, the reason why I sort of just went, and, like, really didn't enjoy what happened on Monday night is because of the constant barrage at the opening of just about every show since after WrestleMania of Triple H or Stephanie as the authority in some respects, starting the show, being focus of shows, taking long ass segments in shows. I am over the characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in today's day and age, do we really need things like GMs? Do we need things like authority figures? You know, when they're starting to become the main focus of shows, I'm sitting there going, well, how are other people supposed to have a personality?
Yeah.
You know, I remember the days of like WCW where you had J.J. Dillon as he was the president of the company in storyline form. You saw him maybe 3-4 times a year max. Fast forward to now, and we have Triple H and Stephanie opening a show almost every week. You know, I'm over the authority. I'm over McMahon's on television in some way, shape, or form. I want to see the wrestlers shine for once. And when all of a sudden that they've taken a feud between wrestlers like AJ and Paige to put it on the back burner because we want to have Stephanie wrestle Brie, again, it just kicks in my thing of I'm just so sick of seeing authority figures and McMahon's on television.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time we heard Omega's two cents on this entire subject here.
In this case, I actually don't mind so much. I will agree with Mace in that I feel ever since they started, well, I can't even really say that, honestly. Because really, WWE has spent so long using authority figures as the center point of storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's far more prominent than it used to be. I'm sick of the authority opening every single episode of Raw.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a long time we've had that. I mean, okay, yeah, Gorilla Monsoon, authority figure, didn't see him that often. Wasn't necessary for the storylines. But it still makes sense to have the authority figure because, well, these people are doing a job, and, you know, when shit is fucking up, you go to the boss. If you want something done, you go to the boss. That said, it has been overkill ever since... Well, really, it's been overkill ever since the Montreal Screwjob.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's when Vince started becoming a character rather than just a commentator. Rather, they start... You know, pointing out the fact that he owns the whole freaking company.
Mm-hmm.
So, ever since then, they've just gotten more and more reliant on having that as a story element. And it is upsetting that, like, okay, every single thing we've seen now kind of revolves around what the authority figures, be it Vince or a GM or what they're actually wants to, Yeah, you know, it's less and less that the inmates run the show, and you know, but I know it's hard to quantify. Because on one hand, yeah, I'm kind of sick of everything focusing on whoever's in charge. At the same time, that kind of makes sense for what they are doing. You know, you don't have a WWE Championship match just by going, hey, Rock, I'm Steve Austin, I don't like you, and I'm going to punch you now. Okay, then we'll... Okay, I'll punch you some more, and then we'll punch each other at WrestleMania. And the one who punches last wins.
There you go.
You know, it's supposed to be a big deal for a WWE, and so why the hell would you let people just decide who the hell they're going to have matches with?
But at the same time, like, going in direct relevance with this match, I'm already starting to get the vibe that this is just the Authority versus Daniel Bryan female version.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we going to start getting Steph opening up Raw this week saying Brie is just a B-plus player? You know,
well, if that happens tomorrow, then my entire interest in the SummerSlam match, just it'll get killed.
B plus diva.
But you know, it also comes down to the handling of it as well. Like the next few weeks are going to be interesting to see how they go with this story. Not to mention the most glaring of logic flaws. Yeah. Where you had Brie turn around and said, well, fuck you, I quit. And then a few months later, blackmails her way back into the company that she quit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not... I don't see that as a failure in logic, because since then she's been taking out her frustrations on Nikki. Well, your sister screwed us. Your sister did this. Your sister acted this way, and I'm not happy about it. So I'm gonna take it out on you because I'm that kind of bitch.
Mm-hmm.
See, that doesn't feel like a failure in logic to me. That just feels like, I left, and now she's victimizing my sister. I have to go do something about it. That's the sibling thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this, the whole thing, my enthusiasm for the match at SummerSlam is tempered by the fact that, others are having to sacrifice for it, or are being sacrificed for this storyline. It has a lot of the same flavor to it that the whole Big Show thing, did just not that long ago. Where he, basically did a lawsuit with the company or threatened him or whatever with his ironclad contract and stuff.
Really?
Kind of. Don't you notice a lot of similar ingredients to that storyline? It just feels really familiar.
If you want to break it down that way, then anytime anyone abuses their authority, it breaks down the same way.
Well, similarly, my point is recent.
Oh, yeah, but you're also going from a storyline where he's a good guy who doesn't want to do these things versus someone who's just plain out being attacked because you're on the payroll and I can do that to you.
Yeah, there's that element to it too. So, but yeah. Anyway, some people looking forward to it. Some people couldn't care less, right, Mace?
I'm trying to straighten that one out. It's not that I just don't care for the story, but I'm also interested in the match.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like It's like, I don't want to be seen as one of these people who's going, oh, it's going to be shit. Bull, no. Fuck no. If anything, this is actually going to be quite a good match.
Yeah.
Because, again, you've got Brie, who's being trained by Brian, and you've got Steph, who has been seen doing workouts with her husband.
Yep.
And most people have seen the way that guy works out and gets ready for a match. My God, that's nuts.
It can be beastly, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's not like we're going to get Steph, who has, while she hasn't been in the ring for over 10 years.
Yeah.
You got to remember, she works out just as much of a beast as her husband does, and I'm quite sure she spent a lot of time in the training center down there in Florida.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're going to get somebody who's been away for 10 years and hasn't kept up with their ring work.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't expect to see her embarrassing herself.
No, this is going to be far from embarrassing. This is actually going to be a half-decent match.
Yep.
Well, for women's wrestling, anyway. Well, WWE women's wrestling, I should correct myself.
I have to keep knocking this down here. Just
there you go.
Well, you got to remember, Steph.
Oh, wait, here's a caveat.
Steph's offense.
Here's a caveat. Well,
Steph's offense back in the day usually required hair pulling, hair throwing, and scratching. Not so much actual wrestling holds back in that time.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's pretty much what's worth talking about this week, I think, guys. Maybe it's time we do some quick hits.
I don't know. Should we wait a few more minutes and see if any news breaks this week?
Well, we can do that. Like we can draw out quick hits. Just talk real slow.
Okay.
That's a lot of our people don't listen fast anyway. I'm just waiting for the producer to get off his ass.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
We should start with fuck you, Tim, for that last comment.
Why, what's the matter? Truth hurt? Aw, muffin.
Just figured I'd throw that in there. Anyway, quick hits.
Jackass.
Tim, what's the most interesting thing you can see outside your nearest window?
Right now? Yes. I can't see outside a window. They're all above me. I live in a basement suite.
So you have no windows whatsoever?
Yep. Did you not hear what I said? I can't see out my windows. They're all above me. I live in a basement suite.
Okay, if you could see out your window, what would be out front, outside of it?
Which one? Bedroom number one, bedroom number two, kitchen, living room number one, or living room number two?
Where you are right now, which means dirt.
Yeah, I see a wall in front of me and to my side.
All right, there you
go. On my right is the hallway. Goddamn big-ass hallway.
All right, there you go. Anyway, Mace.
If I were to stand up and look out the window, I'd see the street that I live on and cars parked on that street.
Anyway.
And then across the street where the neighbor girl lives, she's walking around topless.
And I'm surprised you don't have your camera out. Anyway. Or your binoculars. Anyway, Maze.
That would be voyeurism. That's not nice.
Anyway, Maze, as a kid, were you ever frightened of a monster under the bed or in the cupboard?
No, actually.
No?
No, I knew exactly what was in my cupboard. Lots of toys. And also, I didn't have a bed at the time that was close to the floor. I basically had what was the equivalent of the top half of a bunk bed. So if there was any monsters underneath my bed, I could see them quite easily.
Gotcha. Omega, how long can you balance on 1 foot?
Hang on, I'm busy recording the topless chick across the street.
Appearing soon.
Okay, we're done.
So how long can you balance on 1 foot?
Actually, my balance has always been really good, so I don't have a quantifiable time length. It's probably as long as 1 foot's able to hold up my entire body weight, so somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes, I guess. Not a balance issue, it's more of a out of shape geek issue.
Gotcha. Tim, mm-hmm. This is fitting because I wrote this question last week when you were supposed to be on the show and you weren't. Have you ever accidentally set yourself on fire?
Like, now, what are you talking about?
Have you ever accidentally set yourself on fire?
No, you don't. Repeating the question doesn't clarify what you're talking about.
Have I been
at a campground, out camping and then having a couple too many wobbly pops while I'm sitting beside a campfire and then fall off my chair and have my leg roll into the fire and have the pant leg catch on fire?
How's that ever?
Has fire been on your body in a method that was not intended for a cigarette?
Technically, no.
There you go. That's your answer.
All right. Part two of that question. Have you ever accidentally burnt yourself recently?
You mean like last night when I was cooking chicken?
Yeah, and sticking your finger in, what, 375 degrees?
Well, it was 350 degrees, but there's practically no damage to my finger because It was so hot in the kitchen with all of the burners on and everything, and it was just warm. My hands were a little sweaty. So the sweat actually protected when my finger went into the deep fryer, and I got to the kitchen sink quickly enough to wash it all off that nothing bad happened. There's the tiniest, ittiest, littlest, bittiest blister on the first knuckle on my finger, right behind the fingernail. I mean, you can't see it if I don't point it out to you. But other than that, no. You know, before that, I burnt my finger smoking.
Good to know. I just want to hear the story, so we got it on air. Anyway.
Why?
Because it amused me, and we were making fun of you last night. Anyway.
Well, you're a total jackass anyway.
Hey, I wasn't the only one making fun of you.
Well, no, you're all collectively total jackasses.
There you go.
You're trying to be serious, and you're all being, you know, jackasses.
Exactly. Mace, it's your only...
Funny, you're jackasses.
Mace, it's your only chance to survive on this earth. You have to either be in the middle of a human centipede or the meat in a Randy Orton John Cena sandwich. Which do you choose and why?
Have fun. Yell at him. Go ahead.
I choose death and extinction.
Why?
The meat in an orange.
Because I don't want to be anywhere near those options.
That's like telling me you've got one chance to live.
Right fucking now and be myself alive so that no longer becomes a fucking option.
Oh my god.
Tim's now trying to wonder why there's something called a Randy Orton John Cena sandwich.
Oh, I wonder about you sometimes.
I can show you what the... Anyway.
I probably don't want to see it, thanks.
Omega Cena, Omega... Yeah.
Was it Cards Against Humanity?
It happened...
During.
It happened during, yeah. But that's not what that was created. Anyway.
Fuck.
Omega, you liked that one, didn't you? Anyway, Omega, if you could ask future self one question, what would it be?
My future self, one question.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck were you thinking? That covers it. Thank you.
No, I asked my past self that. Jeez. I'm not the kind that likes to know the future or anything. So,
You don't want to know when you're going to die or how?
No. Okay, Tim? I don't think I can ask my future self that. Pretty sure I can't, you know, if he's already dead to answer that question, it's not going to work so well.
Well, I just expanded it to knowing the future because you said I don't want to know the future. Quote unquote. Okay, stop shaking your head.
Someone died off this call now.
Oh, did we lose him?
We lost him.
Did he hang up?
No, it's calling him back. I think he got dropped.
Oh, wow. Okay, everybody take a shot. No, because it's Omega, you guys take a double shot. With me, it's just a single shot because it happens too regularly.
Uh-huh.
With Omega, it happens twice a year, whether it needs to or not.
I just felt that thing. Waiting for his response, and it's like, there's a problem with this call. We got to get the caller back.
Well, maybe it's your fault.
It's not my fault.
Well, the phone's ringing, and he's not picking up. He's ignoring you. You pissed him off again.
How did I piss him off?
I don't know.
Have you clicked the link yet, Tim?
I'm not even going to click that link because knowing you, it's some kind of like photoshopped pervy gay porn.
There is nothing photoshopped about that picture. Just going to leave it at that.
So, Mason, until we get Omega back, do you want to fill some time?
With what?
I have no idea. I was running out of things.
You know, I will. I'll help you kill some time. I want to talk about the stupidity that is the current WWE Australian tour.
Okay, go ahead.
As I quickly try to get the reference for this, because the card for this is absolutely fucking retarded. I'll go straight through the card from top to bottom, right? Mm-hmm. We've got a street fight between Roman Reigns and Kane with Ric Flair as a special guest referee. Which I've, from what I've been hearing, Rick does a really good job as a referee by leaning on the ropes.
Woo!
We have the SummerSlam preview of Chris Jericho versus Bray Wyatt.
Which they've been doing everywhere, yes.
Yeah. US Championship Triple Threat match, Sheamus versus Van Damme versus Cesaro, which should actually be quite good, but we all know Sheamus is going to win.
Well, yeah, it's a house show.
Yeah. Tag Team Championship, Usos versus the Wyatt family.
Always good.
Yep. Now we get to the crap. Diego versus Fandango, which we saw on Raw.
You get to see the midget.
Don't care. I'm going to be sitting so far back that even binoculars won't be able to see the little bastard.
Well, the kids like the midget.
Good for them. We get R-Truth versus The Miz. To which I'm like, eh. We've got Kofi Kingston versus Bo Dallas.
I have a feeling that's going to be changed. I feel like it's going to be Bo Dallas versus R-Truth.
Quite possibly, but then again, I don't have rocks to throw at Bo Dallas, so... And then, of course, we have our only Divas match up on the lineup. Nikki and Emma versus Alicia Fox and Layla. So basically, we're getting like almost like a B team.
No, you got mostly the A team. Mostly.
I don't know. When your biggest headliner is Chris Jericho, I'm very worried.
But in the company's eyes, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, and Chris Jericho are your top three headliners. Just pointing that one out.
Well, yeah, you're the yourself. When the fuck is my power going to blip out?
We're worried about mine and yours when.
Yeah, I'm just not excited for this card this year as opposed to like other years.
Hey, they're sending Ric Flair down.
Oh, yay.
Hey. Woo! That's added attraction. People will like Ric Flair. You might not like
him. Yeah, because, you know, Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan really drew when they did the Hulkamania tour down here.
It's been many years. People have forgotten about that. Though I'm
just going to feel sorry for all the little kids in their Cena gear going, "Where's John Cena?"
Though I still think I have a bunch of pictures.
Died.
I still think I have a bunch of pictures from that event somewhere on this computer that I was sending.
I'm just hoping that they bring decent merchandise with them this year. I need a Brock Lesnar t-shirt.
You know what? Before his power winks out again, ask him, Brock.
He said his answer. Future, what might power crap out? I was gonna actually give him that as a response if he didn't come up with anything.
Okay. I didn't realize that was gonna you were gonna let that go as his answer.
It was funny. If he wants to use it.
No, the only thing I would say is I would ask, what is your biggest regret, and hope it's something that happens in the time span I have left. You know, rather than something that's already happened.
What is your biggest regret that you haven't done yet that I can alter by doing? That's a good question, wouldn't it? See? I don't know.
Yeah, works for me.
Might be something I'd ask. Anyway, that's it. Another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com. Everybody, don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, we're talking about, like 11:10 p.m., approximately. It's the Raw Post Show.
Yes.
Exactly.
I have nothing to add. That was the perfect plug for that.
There you go. Yeah, so tune in, and you get a chance to chat with everybody else in the chat room about what you saw on Raw. If you didn't get a chance to see Raw and want to know what the hell happened, you'll get everything that went down within about 45 minutes or so. So, yeah, tomorrow night, immediately following the broadcast. Thursday night, another edition of Rack.
Yes, the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be talking NXT. We will have discussions. We will have plenty of news. Probably not as much as last week, but there's going to be probably a lot of news. Go back and listen to last week's episode where we talked about all the network and TNA stuff and NXT and a whole discussion about women's wrestling. Check out It's the Rack Thursdays, new brand new start time, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack, and follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsWord.
Yeah, and Saturday night midnight is sure as close as they can get to it. That's right, it's another exciting, fact-filled edition of CB Radio.
We talked about how a grandmother got sentenced to 6 months in jail for having public sex. And
a grandmother?
A grandmother. Yeah, a grandmother. Uh-huh. And
hey, look, she's a gilf.
And how...
Hey, at that age, you'll take it anytime you can get it.
Apparently,
really, that's a thing.
It's a thing. Speaking of a thing, there's something called Dick Starter. And we talked about how a mother left her two children in a car so she can go to another car and, well, have some sort of...
sex?
With
what
her,
are you, obsessed?
It's a thing to happen. It's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, and unusual. Follow the show on Twitter.
Wait, is that really a thing?
It is a thing. Oh, and we had like 8 blame Robs. 8. He was busy. Follow the show.
Well, blame him.
And he was on vacation, too. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night at our regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, it's another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night. Don't forget, you can follow me on two separate bloody Twitter accounts. The first one, of course, is at GoNHLGo. But hey, Rock, guess what? The second one's at Men with Food.
Is that what it is? Okay.
That's what it is. Men with Food.
I should write that down.
Yes. All you have to do, actually, is look for the Man Kitchen. It'll come up at Men with Food.
There you go.
Yeah. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio on Twitter, WTR Sunday Night. And, of course, on Facebook, facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Good job.
And, of course, you can follow Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, and on Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.com, or Wild Talk Radio.
Network.
That'll work. It'll work. It'll get you there, goddammit. So, yeah, and if you think you might want to learn stuff about food, definitely follow Men with Food. Going to be posting a whole bunch of stuff up there pretty damn soon. And, again, if you like food, you might wind up being interested. That being said, get out of here. We're done. Goodbye. All right, yes. All right. Mace, what do you want to plug?
No, just the usual shit that I plug every week. Follow me on Twitter at TheMaceThing. Go to youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where I posted a video of the recent loot crate with the villains theme, where I got socks, a t-shirt, and a few other things, and a comic book. It's all fun and good. Go watch the video, and if you want to buy one, there's a link in the description to go and buy one and help me save a couple of bucks. As usual, anybody in the eastern suburbs of Victoria, Australia, head on down to Next Level Games at 164 Marinda Highway, Ringwood, Tuesday through Sunday to go and play some card games. They have just about anything and everything available. On Tuesday nights, starting at 7 p.m, you'll usually find me there playing Magic the Gathering. Also, if anybody listening to this actually wants to see what I look like in real life and maybe say hello, I will be at the WWE live event at Rod Laver Arena on August 7th, aka this Thursday. I'm in section 31, somewhere around the 366 to 371 seat range, so in the upper nosebleeds. So if you're there, come and find me. If you know what I actually look like, because I wear a mask on Twitter, just come and say hello and say you like the show, and it'd be nice to actually meet somebody who listens to this crap one day.
I've done that.
You've listened to this crap?
I've met people who have.
Oh.
Yeah. And they say, hey, it's a good show. You guys are funny, dude. And I'm like, thanks, Mom. Omega, plug shit.
All of my stuff is pretty much the usual. All of my stuff is either at tjomega.org or tjomega on YouTube. For following, there is TJ Omega on Twitter and TJ Reviews over on Facebook.
What are you doing tomorrow, Monday?
Monday is another edition of Metro Mondays, more of my MetroCon 2014 coverage. Haven't quite decided what's going to go up yet. It's either an hour-long, very funny panel starring a Canadian that is not Tim Steins, so it really is funny.
Okay, I'm going to slap you. A big slap you back to Africa.
Or it will be an interview with a very prominent video game voiceover artist.
Who's not Nolan North.
Who's not Nolan North.
So he'll be funny.
Oh,
Nolan North was actually quite funny, too.
I know. That was just me being pissy. Oh, and if you get a chance to follow Kane Kittens on Twitter, don't bother.
But if you do, well...
No, don't promote his Twitter.
No,
yeah.
If you do, just tell him the Cowboys suck.
Okay, well, there you go.
Hey, football starts up Saturday.
Yay!
Well, Friday.
Well, actually, started tonight.
Start tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys losing already?
No, the Cowboys didn't play. We got like 10 seconds. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Fuck off.
Yeah, no, tonight it was from Cowboys.
WildTalkRadio.com.